like to come on in and go ahead and sit down, we'll get started this morning. Are there any first-time visitors today?
Everybody don't like to be acknowledged, so we will just look around. We'll see first-time visitors as we depart.
Are there any announcements this morning that anybody has? Any announcements this morning?
General Assembly of the Cumberland Presbyterian Church meets this week, beginning tomorrow, about 2 o'clock in Memphis, Tennessee, at the Hilton on 240, I-240 around the city. Sam Sutter, we said this, but we repeat it again, is a candidate for a moderator of General Assembly. I have the privilege, or the honor, or the task, or the opportunity to give his nomination speech. I trust that you will lift me up as I give it, that I won't go down too many rabbit trails as is has happened with me many times. We hope to get him elected. There's two preachers that he's running against. So we don't want to be real competition. We believe Sam is capable. We believe Sam has earned it. If you could earn it with his work in the church since the mid-70s, the Cumberland Presbyterian Church, been a Christian since his 11. And I just ask that you pray for this. Sam is okay if he don't win. God has something better for him. That's his response. But we believe that he's capable and can moderate the General Assembly and then represent the church for the coming year throughout even the world. And so has a sincere interest in missions. So I ask you to pray for that. One, it's a prayer concern, if I may give it now. Kerry Maddox, father passed away on Monday. Mr. Ray Maddox is up in Columbus, Indiana, and the funeral was Friday. And you might give Kerry a call. Kerry Maddox. Also, Sharon Gardner fell and broke a bone in her leg. They think they did. So she's laid up, so to speak, this morning. And Larry's having to do extra duties. But he has some assistance too. So pray for Larry and Sharon in this situation. I think that's most of my announcements this morning.
There will be a youth group tonight at 6 p.m. We're not having dinner or anything, so eat and then come to youth group. I'm going to go ahead and start in the prayer request if there's no other announcements. But we have a handful of girls, maybe two or three, going to middle school camp this week. Let's just keep them in our prayers and pray that God is revealed to them and they're blessed. We thank you for your prayer request for last week, senior high camp. It was an amazing week. I know that there were several people from this church that had profound experiences with God. So we thank you for your prayers.
Savetta's back.
Savetta's back. Are there any other prayer requests?
Scout troop for 30 years. We shared the same scout
Are there any more? If you do have any that you want to be put into the bulletin, we ask that you write it in the pew cards and put it in the offering plate later on. Now let's have a moment of silent prayer while the candles are lit. Our call to worship this morning comes from 2 Corinthians 5 and Psalm 147, if you'd please stand with me. Our hope is in the name of the Lord, our God.
In Christ we are a new creation.
Our hope is in the name of the Lord, our God.
We walk by faith, not by sight.
Our hope is in the name of the Lord, our God. Our hope is in the name of the Lord, our God.
This will be page 31 in your hymnal.
Great is the Lord, He is holy and just. By His power we trust in His love. Great is the Lord, He is faithful and true. By His mercy He proves His love. Great is the Lord and worthy of glory. Great is the Lord and worthy of praise. Great is the Lord, now lift up your voice. Now lift up your voice. Great is the Lord. By His power we trust in His love. Great is the Lord, He is faithful and true. By His mercy He proves His love. Great are You, Lord, and worthy of glory. Great are You, Lord, and worthy of praise. Great are You, Lord, I lift up my voice. I lift up my voice.
Lord God, as Your people, we come into Your sanctuary. We come, O Lord, to acknowledge Your greatness, but we come to experience Your greatness again. And we pray, O Lord, that You would make it happen or permit it to happen in this hour. Lord, we thank You for calling us out of the world, calling us to assemble with fellow Christians, fellow believers. And Lord, we just lift our hearts to You. And Lord, help us to not only know that You are great, but to share Your greatness with those that we come in contact with. Lord, we know that our hope is in You. We are helpless by ourselves, but Lord, with You living through us, we can do great works in Your name. So we pray, O Lord, that You will so inspire us this day that we might go forth from this place prepared to do wonderful things for You and then engage in doing just what You call us to do. And Lord, we offer this prayer in the name of Jesus, now coming to pray as He taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
If you will follow along with me, we're going to say the Apostles' Creed. You can find it on the screen or in the hymnal on 716. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Call to confession comes from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We know, follow with me in unison, sorry. We know much about earthly things, but so little about heavenly things. We stand in Your presence, O God, but fail to see the hem of Your robe in our midst, much less Your presence far above upon the throne of heaven. We do not often see Your servants in flight around Your throne. We do not often hear their voices or feel their very foundation about us tremble at the loud praise. Open our lives to hear Your mystery, power, and glory. Open the lives to You, O Holy One. My friends, hear this. Hear the words of the Apostle Paul. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Amen.
Please turn with me in your hymnals to page 453. I gave my life for thee. Let's sing the first, second, and fourth verses.
My life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou might ransom me and quicken from the dead. I gave my gift.
Offertory sentence this morning comes from 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the generous acts of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. If the ushers would come forward. At this time, will the children come forward for a children's message? Time out. Special music first. I lied. The children would please come forward for children's time.
Thank you. Thursday.
All right. Now, you know, the first thing you think about that, because it takes, in most families, if you're fortunate and blessed, you have a mom and you have a dad, and they raise you together. And usually the dad is more the protector, making sure that you're well provided for and that you're safe. How many of you still say to your daddy and friends? And dads teach you a lot too. Moms teach you a lot too. And moms usually are more of the meal providers and the caregivers and the dirty diaper changers and the clothes washers. But dads help with that too. Really good dads help with that. But the point I'm making is, don't you all feel safer and happier and loved and cared for because of what your parents do?
Amen.
Who can tell me something that their dad has taught them how to do? Right, huh? Dads are great for that. What about anybody learn how to throw a softball? Or did your dad help you with that? Now, I know at my house your dad's better than that. Bitch. And granddad helped you. Oh, that's very important that dad helps you do first. Because dad makes sure it's safe and that you're not hurt by the fireworks, that you can enjoy it. Well, I want you all to remember that one of the Ten Commandments is honor thy father and mother. And I want you to really, really remember that this week. And I want you all to plan something very special for your dad. And let him know how much you love him and appreciate him, making sure they're safe and well provided for and loved. And also remind mom, even though it's dad's day.
I want to thank Patrick for leading worship, part of his training experience, but he's done that a good bit already, not here, but other places. And also I've asked him to be here as part of his learning and moving toward ministry or ordination to assist at the Lord's table. We have beautiful flowers on the Lord's table this morning in memory of Linda Marable from Mike and Mary Jo Bryan's garden, and they're so pretty. If Sally and Deborah, Jerry and John, and Pete and Diane will assist at the table this morning. hear these words. First Corinthians, chapter 11. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church concerning the communion experience. He says, I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he come. That last phrase, until he come, that points out that Jesus is coming back. He died. We remember that at the Lord's table. The broken body, the shed blood, symbolized in the bread and the fruit of the vine. But death was not the end for Jesus, and we must remember that. And I hope we can each time we come to the Lord's table. He was buried, but God raised him up on the third day after his burial, and he lived upon the earth for 40 days. He had a resurrected body. He was seen by over 500 people. He had conversations with them. He ate meals with them. He explained the scriptures to them, things that they had not understood before his death. And then on the 40th day, he was out on the mount and was taken up into heaven as the disciples looked on, and he was taken up. He had promised to return. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare this place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there you may be also. And he said he is going to return to claim, to gather up those who trust in him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13, and the following verses tells Paul's understanding of how it's going to happen. He'll come on a cloud and he'll call the dead in Christ from the graves first, and then we who are alive and remain at that time, he will translate us and call us up with him and take us to be with him, and where he is, we shall be also. So we celebrate the death, the burial, but also the resurrection, the ascension, and the hope of his return to earth. Patrick, did I say this? Patrick's going to assist at the table also as part of his training. He's here to work, but he is also here to learn as he goes through the education process. If you'll join me, Patrick. The invitation to the table is extended to all believers. We often point out that some churches have what they call closed communion. It is closed to everyone except members of that church. Presbyterians and people of the Reformed tradition practice open communion. We do not believe that this is a Cumberland Presbyterian table. This is the Lord's table, and all who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord are welcome. We believe it, we stress it, and we invite you who are believers to eat with us and to drink with us, remembering his death as well as his coming again. Lord God, for the bread that represents your broken body. Lord, we thank you how you instituted this meal with your disciples. We thank you, O Lord, for the Apostle Paul's instructions to the Corinthian church that we have as our instruction. What you delivered to him. And Lord, other passages from Matthew, from Mark, and from Luke, where you they report your instituting of this meal. And we thank you for this bread. And we thank you for the meaning behind it. Your broken body. The broken body of Jesus. And Lord, that his body was broken to pay for our sins, that we might not have to pay the penalty, the debt ourselves. He paid it on our behalf. And Lord, as we come before you with this bread, we thank you for it. But we thank you most especially for Jesus, the bread of life. And Lord, as we eat, so bless us and nourish us spiritually. In his name, that name of Jesus, amen. Patrick, the bread of Jesus, the body of Jesus, broken for you, represented in this bread. And will you serve these elders? The cup, fruit of the vine, symbolizing Jesus' shed blood. When he gave his blood, when it was drained from his body, his life here on earth was complete, was finished. He was dead. Life was taken out of him, or drained out of him. He gave his life for us. But still we remember, death could not hold him. God gave him new life. And we come thanking him. Lord Jesus, thank you for being willing to go to that cross and suffer for us. We know that you could have called down 10,000 legions of angels and escaped the penalty. But God sent you to do this for us because he loves his creation, his people so. So Lord, we pray your blessing upon this cup, thanking you for it, but thanking you more especially for Jesus being willing to die for us. In his name, in that name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. The blood of Christ shed for you. Please serve the elders. Elders, you will serve God's people. Thank you.
Scripture reading this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." At the end of their voices, at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Have you experienced the presence of Jesus in this hour, this morning? I trust that you have. If you have not, I don't know. I just don't know. If you have not, I'd be most happy to visit with you and let's understand the presence of Jesus. Jimena's music. Thank you, lady. Thank you. Where did she? Thank you. Twice. What if you came to the sanctuary and experienced something like Isaiah experienced? Let me begin by saying, or stop a moment and say, we won't get to the call and Isaiah's response to the call this morning. I started out wanting to preach on the experience of the worship experience. And somewhere along the way, that got moved to also the call to service and the response. But when I got in the pulpit this morning, I didn't ever get to the call and response. So maybe I was right in the beginning. I felt that God was saying something to the effect of, let's talk about the worship experience. What we are gathered here for this morning, or every Sunday morning, or whenever we gather. But then, maybe I, as I read the scripture, I took it a little further and got caught up in the other part, and still hope to preach on that next Sunday, remembering that I did preach on the call to ministry some time ago. But I think it's part of this lesson that I feel compelled to speak about. What if you came into the sanctuary this morning, or any morning, and experienced something like Isaiah told about experiencing in Isaiah 6, verse 1 through 7, really? He had quite an experience, did he not? What would you do? What would you do if you were sitting here in church and the foundations shook? We'd get out of here. We'd say there's an earthquake coming, right? We'd say, let me out of here. What if you came into the sanctuary and you saw the Lord high and lifted up, sitting on a throne with a train? And I don't understand all about the train, and I'm not sure that anybody does. Filling the temple. And you were in the sanctuary, and big birds, six-winged birds, began to fly around the place. We'd say, bring in the exterminator, wouldn't we? We got to get those birds out of here. Were they birds? Six-winged beings, seraphah, or seraphim, according to what version you are following. What if that experience was your experience? Isaiah went into the temple, and he had this great experience. He experienced the presence of the Lord. What if you came into the sanctuary and experienced the presence of the Lord? Or what if you came into the sanctuary and did not experience the presence of the Lord? You know, the Lord has promised, Jesus' words Himself, has promised to be with us when two or three are gathered in His name. So if we come and gather in His name, whether we recognize it or not, He comes and abides with us and works with us. This passage is about experiencing the presence of the Lord. And I can only imagine what I would do if I went into the sanctuary or the temple and experienced anything close to what Isaiah experienced. There's a relatively new song out. The name of it is I Can Only Imagine. It so happened, as I was thinking about this and preparing this sermon, it was yesterday or Friday, I turned on the gospel station, and there they sang, I Can Only Imagine. And you've heard Sam sing it more than once, and I believe the Wednesday night group sings it quite often. Is that right, Jimena, Ted, our Wednesday night musicians? Are you the one that sings that one then? Okay. I Can Only Imagine. Some of the words. One, I might just dance before the Lord. What's some other things that they might do? Stand in awe. You know, stand. What are we doing when we're standing in awe? We stand back and, oh my, how wonderful And I don't think that did justice to what standing in awe is. We might fall down before the Lord. Or we might, would any of us run? If we saw the Lord, we would just say, I can't tolerate this. I can't stand this. This is something new to me. This is more than I looked for, more than I expected. I've got to get out of here. I've been to a home church service where it got to the point I said to Carol, Carol, I've got to get out of here. I'm not sure if that was the presence of the Lord or if I just wasn't ready for it. I don't know. But I said, I've got to get out of here. It went out a hamburger supper before, kind of a cookout, and then gathered in the living room to have a worship experience of some sort. And I wasn't sure if it was the charcoal causing indigestion or the Lord saying, Larry, it's okay for you to leave. And Carol says, we can't go now. And I said, you hide and watch. I'm going. And you can always grab your stomach, and they want you to leave when you do that. Or do this, and they want you to leave, wherever it is. Now, I don't know if the Lord wanted me to leave or not, but I had to get out of there. And sometimes when the Lord gets really on us, and that might have been, I'm not saying that it wasn't the presence of the Lord that night, but maybe I wasn't ready for it or something. I had to get out of there, and sometimes that happens. Went to another service. One of my friends was... preaching, but he was reading his dissertation as a graduation for a doctor's degree, and I didn't know what he was talking about. And I said, oh my, I think we'd been at that meeting about 2 days, and I said, I've got to get out of here. So I grabbed my head, so it wouldn't embarrass him. But there are many ways that we can respond. Sometimes when it really is the presence of the Lord, and sometimes when we don't think it could be, that the Lord could be in that. But I like that song, I Can Only Imagine. I can only imagine what would happen going away from such an experience. You know, what do people say when they leave church? You know, preachers imagine, but preachers have responses when they leave church too. We talk about the elders and we talk about the congregation. I know most of y'all used to talk about the hats in church, but we don't see hats anymore. We talk about different things in the church. The music was too loud. The music was too low. Blah, blah, blah. Why wasn't it better organized? And we've been kind of halfway organized this morning. I hadn't preached in 2 weeks. And I hadn't led a worship service in 2 weeks. So I'm a little confused. Well, I guess 2 weeks ago when Patrick, I was here kind of leading, but he was preaching. But anyhow, and a good sermon, Patrick. I'll tell you again publicly, and I told him that day, and I told you that day. And thank you for that. But didn't preach last week. So things were a little disorganized, and we were careful to make sure that the offering plates were out this morning, though. You know, sometimes we even move everything around, and if you were here last week, we had this... If you were not here last week, I'll tell you, a big scene behind here, etc. And we got all that down, and some things didn't get put back right. The PowerPoint didn't get just right. We thought it was, and then Sam took off to Memphis. He needs to be there early to do a little handshaking, and he's got a meeting at 2 or 3 this afternoon, something. He needs to be there to get orientated, he knew how it was, but we were not prepared as we could have been and we'd like to be. But I believe the Lord can even come and visit us maybe sometime when things don't go just as we wanted them to do and say, hey, look, you need me to get you through this. But anyhow, what would our response be? Some people leave a worship service or even leave a church, and I say, why did you leave that church? And they say, well, I wasn't being fed. Sometimes I wonder about that, because if the Word is being read, and that's food. That's food for the spiritual soul. But anyhow, and I still have heard that over and over and over. Now, I've never heard it about a church where I was pastor. I did have a woman to say one time, I said, you haven't been coming to church. You've been coming to Sunday school, but you haven't been coming to church. And she had children, and I wanted to be there, and I thought they needed it. She said, Larry, your sermons are dull. And I said, well, you hadn't been there often enough to hear them recently. So you hadn't heard one in a long time. I might have got better, but I probably didn't. But part of being a good church person is pulling out of that dullness No, I guess we are kind of responsible to make it at least halfway interesting. But that's another thing. People haven't been saying, I don't believe you could go away from a spirit like Isaiah had. You might say, I haven't been fed, but you could not say, I haven't experienced the presence of the Lord. And that's what it's all about. It's not all about feeding, us feeding the congregation. We ought to do that. We need spiritual food, but it's about experiencing the presence of the Lord, the God of creation. But could anyone go away from rumblings of the foundation, seraphim flying around, smoke, possibly smoke filling the place, and say, I have not experienced the presence of the Lord God? Now, way back there, and we should have discussed this before I got here, way back there when I was a seminary student, and I say, I'm talking about Patrick and I should have discussed it, but when I was a seminary student, we were taught, use Isaiah 6, verse 1 through 8, as a pattern to outline your worship. Also, we were pointed to John chapter 13, where Jesus met with the disciples in the upper room and serve them and wash their feet. But basically, most of us caught on to Isaiah 6. We do a vision of God, and we'd have ourselves, use a scripture passage that would call the congregation, call at least their attention to God. Come into the house of the Lord. Something of that nature. And I still try to have a call to worship that would call us together. God's Word calling us together. We kind of did that this morning, but I borrowed somebody else's call to worship. But we'll find a passage of Scripture. Many of the Psalms says, come unto me. Even come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But I know a lot of people out there need a lot of rest because they're tired. And it's good to hear that voice. Come and I'll give you rest. You who have been laboring, you who are burdened down. So that's just one of the verses that call us to rest, call us to worship. And Isaiah, he saw the Lord. So I followed that outline some 40 years, different variations of it. A vision of God. Isaiah had a vision of God. And that's what he describes in verse 1 and 2. In the year that King Uzziah died, he even dates it, he went into the temple and he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And then this was followed by the heavenly beings offering praise to God. We try to start the service with a hymn of praise, a hymn that doesn't speak to us, but to God. Love divine, all loves exceeding. And that's saying to God, Lord, your love is so great. Your love is so great. Did you know that's what we were doing when we choose these songs? Something that affirms God. And we really like, for the psychological benefit, kind of have an upbeat song for the first one. And sometimes it's hard to find a praise to God song that's also upbeat, because some of the praise to God songs are not really upbeat, and vice versa. But anyhow, the heavenly beings offering praise to God. Maybe that's a little bit of heaven on earth. Now, if you notice the seraphim, when they said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts, who did they speak that to? Who did they speak that to? They were calling not just to God, but they were calling to one another. They were saying to each other, God is holy. God is holy. Holy, holy, holy. God is three times holy. And then the Lord God Almighty. And then they say, oh, the whole earth is full of His glory. We don't have to limit the glory of God to the sanctuary. Just look around you. The trees are not God, but they're God's creation. Other people are not God, but they're God's creation. Sign down the road here on the church says, we worship the Creator, not the creature or the creation. I read it and I say, yes, Lord, we're worshiping God, the Creator in our place too. And so, but we talk about the glory of God and His creation. We see that. And these seraphim were speaking one to another. And also they were offering this in God's presence. So they were seeing it. Seeing the Lord or being in His presence, what does it call for? Call for praise. Being in the presence of God calls for praise. We recognize His holiness. We recognize His power. We see God. So, some people often say of their Christian or lack of Christian commitment and Christian service and participation in the church, they will say, well, I'm just as good as so-and-so. And then I'm sure that people in the congregation will say, well, I'm just as good as that preacher is. And that's good. That's wonderful. I'm glad. And they'll say, I'm just as good as those elders are, and they're trying to lead us. They're trying to be something. Well, number one, the congregation elected, in our system, both of them. The congregation elected a long time ago for the preacher, but the elders, we elect them on a regular basis. But when we stand in the presence of Jesus, we can't say, I'm just as good as He is. You know that? How good is He? He is perfect. He is perfect. So when we stand in His presence, we can't say that. Can you keep quiet? Can you keep quiet when you're in the presence of God? The next aspect of this experience is confession of sin. No, they saw the seraphim. The seraphim were praising God, heavenly beings praising God. And then Isaiah saw himself in the presence of God. When you see yourself in the presence of God, it shows what we really are. It compares us to perfection, to God. And so when we come into the presence of God, we bow down before Him. Isaiah said, woe is me. Woe is me. I'm a sinner. And he may have not have acknowledged that or recognized that till he got into the presence of deity, till he got in the presence of perfection. Being in God's presence exposes us, and hopefully to ourselves, not to other people. Hopefully we'll see ourselves. That's what Isaiah did. He saw himself standing in God's presence. He saw himself as a man of unclean lips. But he saw also that he lived among a people of unclean lips. He had heard them talk. He had heard them talk. John chapter 3 is verse 19. Jesus talks about how sinners, people involved in evil, go and do it in the dark. Because they don't want the light to expose them. So they won't bring it into the presence of Jesus because it will expose what they are. In His presence, we are exposed. And I'm dwelling on that maybe too much. But we need to know it. And we need to be exposed. We don't need to go hide it. Isaiah saw his sin and he said, woe is me. And then there is cleansing. He confessed. So we have a confession of sin. And he confessed his sin. And what happened? Well, these seraphim flew to the altar. It wasn't like this altar. It was a burning fire where they threw blood and meat up on it. And the sweet-smelling smell as the meat cooked rose up to God, they thought, and was pleasing to Him. And one of the seraphim flew there to the altar and took some tongs and took the tongs and picked up a coal of fire and flew to Isaiah and touched his lips with the coal of fire. Isaiah, you've confessed. You've admitted you're wrong. You're cleansed. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin has been atoned for. And that was pointing to what Jesus would do way down there years and years later. Some 700 years later, we believe it is. He was cleansed. So in the worship experience, we have confession. And then we have an affirmation of God's forgiveness. Or a word. We try to use a word from Scripture that says, God forgives us when we come before Him in repentance, trusting in Jesus Christ. And then there is a call to serve, and then there is a response to that call, and I promise to get to that next week. My hope, let me share my hope. I'll try to do it quickly. I always hope that each and every person present in a worship service can experience God's visitation. That when we come into that sanctuary, those sanctuary doors, that we can expect and have that expectation met to experience God's visitation. That He would visit with us or His presence. And He can come even in disorganized services, as this one may have seemed to some of you. It kind of did to me, but it's probably my fault. I'll take that. God's visitation can come in many different ways. It might come in word read from the Scripture. That's the visitation of God because that's the Word of God. But it might come to us in a friend speaking a kind word to us. So you may be sharing God's presence with someone when you speak a nice word or an encouraging word to someone in the congregation that day. They may be down. They may be hurting. They may be dragging, so to speak. And they need a word of the Lord. And we, as God's people, are challenged, urged to share a word of the Lord. It may be a word spoken. It may be though when we really hear God speak to us in that still small voice, or we may come into the sanctuary and it's kind of like crawling up into God's arms. And I described last summer's Wednesday evening services as that experience. And the next Wednesday I would come and I would try to recreate that or to have that feeling again. Well, it wouldn't happen that week. Maybe I didn't need to be up in His arms that week. But that's experiencing. Two or three Wednesday nights last summer, it was like crawling up into God's arms and just resting there. As I sat out there and the praise band sang, and we read some scriptures, and we prayed around whoever was here, 10 or 12, 15 people, and I experienced the presence of God. Sometimes we feel that need just to be consoled. Or maybe He blesses someone in the congregation. Maybe they just have a testimony to give. And we have the privilege of sharing in that experience. And that might be when we are visited by God. That might be God's word or word of encouragement to us. Or maybe we can enter in and be God's persons ourselves and offer that encouragement. Or maybe we're in church and God just comes and sits beside us. You ever felt that? That it was God that came and sat beside you? Hopefully we have. Hopefully we'll do it again. Maybe that's your experience this morning. There are many ways to experience the visitation of the Lord. So let me challenge you and encourage you. Every time we come into His place, may we just expect to experience God's presence. Go back to Brother Harris. He had come and we'd be welcoming visitors, you remember. And Brother Harris would say, let's not forget to welcome Jesus this morning.
Amen.
Well, that's kind of a, I agree with that. We must not, but it's kind of a given. But he thought, and I agree, we needed to stop and say it. Lord, welcome to you. You're welcome. That's where one thing we added that into it, where we come in and light the candles as a symbol of Jesus, the light of the world, coming and dwelling with us. And if the Lord comes, we're going to be fed unless we refuse to eat. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for your help. Thank you for your visitation. And thank you for your calling us to confess our sin, to revealing to us our need. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, 444 is really a song in response to a call to service. But we already planned to sing it. And I think it'll work here too. I think it'll apply. That we'll just go and share the presence of God wherever He sends us this week. Let's stand together and sing the first verse, 444.